DIAP, Episode 4. The Talent Experience, The Cold Start, and What This Isn't. This is Episode 4. The first three episodes covered the protocol, the technical integration, and the business and regulatory case. This one is about three things people keep asking me. What does it actually feel like to be a talent using DIAP? How does this get off the ground, the cold start problem? And what makes this different from blockchain, DRM, or content credentials? Part 1. The Talent Experience. Let me walk you through what DIAP looks like from the talent side. Not the API calls, not the token model. What the person actually sees. You're an actor. You've been cast in a film. On set, the studio runs a facial scan using their LiDAR rig. You've done this before. It's part of the process for digital effects work. The difference now is that the studio's scanning tool is DIAP certified. After the scan, the tool extracts mathematical embeddings from the raw capture, not your face, math. One-way representations that can verify your identity but can't be reversed into an image of you. The raw scan stays with the studio for this production. The embeddings get packaged and submitted to DIAP. You get a notification on your phone on diap.my.id. It says, Studio XYZ submitted a face capture from Project Zenith. Review and approve. You tap it. You see exactly what was captured, which module it is, face, voice, motion, which studio submitted it when it was captured, and what certification the capture tool holds. You approve it. The anchor goes into your vault. That's registration. One notification, one approval. Done. Now consent. Your vault has two layers. Layer one is visibility. This controls whether any AI system in the world can even see that your identity exists. If layer one for your face module is set to on, studios can search for you, request licenses, verify your identity. If it's off, you're invisible. No studio, no platform, no AI pipeline can find you or reference your data. It's like you don't exist in the AI identity ecosystem. You can toggle this per module, face on, voice off, expression on, motion off, whatever you want. Layer 2 is project specific. A studio wants to use your face for Project Zenith. They submit a license request, you see it in your dashboard. Which studio, which project, which rights they're asking for, face rendering, dubbing, training, what scope, what duration. You approve it, or your agent does, if you've delegated that permission. And here's the delegation model. You can give your agent broad permissions. They can approve license requests, manage visibility settings, review submissions, day-to-day stuff. But there are two things that never get delegated, the kill switch and data deletion. Those stay with you, only you. Your agent can manage your career on DIAP. They cannot shut it down or erase your data. That's a design principle, not a feature toggle. The kill switch is the most important thing in the entire protocol from the talent's perspective. One action, you press it, and every active license token across every studio and platform in the world gets revoked. Immediately, every rendering pipeline that's running with your identity data hits a wall, every heartbeat stops, every pending request gets denied. Your identity becomes invisible across the entire ecosystem. It's not a request, it's not a process. It's a technical kill that happens in seconds. Why is this important? Because the power dynamic in entertainment has historically favored studios. Talent signs contracts, studios hold the data. If something goes wrong, unauthorized use, a dispute, a change of heart, the talent has to go through lawyers, agents, arbitration. DIAP puts a button in the talent's hand that bypasses all of that. You don't need a lawyer to revoke consent. You press a button. Now the audit log, every interaction with your identity is logged. You can see it in real time. Studio XYZ validated your license token at 2:15 p.m. Rendering session started. Heartbeat received, render receipt submitted. 1,200 frames of face rendering for Project Zenith, Episode 3. AI modification flagged. 14 voice lines adjusted using synthesis model, 5.7% modification ratio. Everything. You see what was done, when, by whom. using which AI model and how much was modified. This is unprecedented transparency for talent. Today, an actor finishes a voice recording session and has no idea what happens to that recording downstream. Was it used to train a model? Was it modified with AI? Was it shared with another production? They find out when they see the final product, or when they don't, because it was used for something they were never told about. DIAP replaces that black box with a real-time audit trail, and it's all free. Registration, consent management, audit logs, the kill switch, free for talent. On every app, every platform that builds on DIAP, non-negotiable, the protocol's economic model charges studios, not talent. Because if you charge talent, you kill adoption, and if you kill adoption, the protocol has no network. Part 2, the cold start problem. Every protocol faces the same chicken and egg problem. Studios won't integrate if there's no talent on the platform. Talent won't register if no studios use it. So how does DIAP get from zero to critical mass? The answer is guilds. The Directors Guild of America has approximately 19,000 members. SAG-AFTRA has over 160,000. The Writers Guild has roughly 12,000. These are organized, centralized bodies that already negotiate technology provisions on behalf of their members. They already have the infrastructure to communicate with their membership, to set standards, and to mandate compliance. If the DGA includes DIAP adoption in their next agreement with the AMPTP, every signatory studio has to integrate. That's not 19,000 individual decisions. That's one negotiation that covers the entire guild membership. And here's why the guilds would do this. They've been fighting for AI protections for 3 years. They've gotten contract language. What they haven't gotten is enforcement infrastructure. DIAP gives them that. The DGA can point to DIAP and say, this is how consent gets enforced. Not with a contract clause that gets litigated after the fact, with a technical gate that prevents unauthorized use before it happens. The cold start strategy has three phases. Phase one is the centralized pilot. One issuer, that's DIAP itself. A small number of studios, a controlled environment. The goal is to prove the protocol works in real production conditions. This is where we are now. Phase two is guild adoption. DIAP works with the DGA, SAG-AFTRA, and the WGA to integrate the protocol into guild agreements. This creates instant demand on the studio side and instant supply on the talent side. Guild members register, studios integrate. The network has critical mass. Phase three is open expansion. Once the protocol is proven and adopted in entertainment, independent developers build apps on it. New industries adopt it. The ecosystem grows beyond guilds into music, sports, creator economy, and eventually individual identity protection. The key insight is that DIAP doesn't need to convince 160,000 actors to individually sign up. It needs to convince a handful of guild leaders that this is the enforcement mechanism they've been looking for. The guild structure does the rest. There's another piece to the cold start, escrow. What happens when a studio captures an actor who doesn't have a DIAP profile yet? The protocol handles this. The studio submits the embeddings to DIAP's escrow system. The data is encrypted and held, not active, not usable. DIAP sends an invitation to the talent or their agent. Register on diap.my.id to claim your identity data. If they register within 90 days, they claim the escrow, review the submission, and approve or reject it. If 90 days pass with no claim, the escrow is deleted, embeddings destroyed. If the talent explicitly rejects, deleted immediately. This means studios can start using DIAP on day one, even if their talent isn't on the platform yet. The escrow system bridges the gap. It's an onboarding ramp that doesn't require everyone to be ready at the same time. Part 3, what DIAP is not. I want to be direct about what DIAP isn't because I keep getting compared to things it's not. DIAP is not blockchain. There's no token economy. There's no cryptocurrency. There's no distributed ledger that requires consensus mechanisms or proof of work. DIAP uses cryptographic signing and hashing, the same math that blockchain uses, but it doesn't need a chain. License tokens are signed by DAI App's authority. Render receipts are signed by studios and verified by DAI App. The audit trail lives in DAI App's infrastructure, not on a public ledger. This is deliberate. Blockchain adds latency, cost, and complexity that a real-time rendering pipeline can't tolerate. When a VFX studio needs to validate a license token before rendering a frame, they need a response in milliseconds. They don't need to wait for block confirmations. DAI App is centralized by design in phase one, moving toward federation, not toward a blockchain. DAI App is not DRM. Digital rights management is about restricting access to content after it's been produced. It prevents copying, it prevents sharing. It's a lock on the output. DAI App is a gate on the input. It controls what goes into the AI pipeline, not what comes out. A studio that has a valid license token can render freely within their authorized scope. There's no encryption on the output. There's no device lock. There are no playback restrictions. What there is, a watermark that proves the content was authorized and an audit trail that documents every step. DRM restricts, DIAP authorizes. They're fundamentally different concepts. DAI App is not Adobe's content credentials. Content credentials is an excellent initiative. It embeds provenance metadata into creative files. Who made it? What tools were used? Whether AI was involved. It answers the question, what is this content and where did it come from? DAI App answers a different question, was this content authorized? Content credentials tells you a photo was AI generated using Adobe Firefly. DIAP tells you whether the person in that photo consented to the generation, under what license, with what scope, and whether that license is still valid. They're complementary. Content credentials is provenance. DIAP is consent. A world where both exist is better than a world with either alone, and the integration surface between them is natural. A DAI App watermark could embed alongside content credentials metadata. You'd get both provenance and consent verification in a single check. DAI App is not a marketplace. It doesn't negotiate deals. It doesn't set prices. It doesn't take a percentage. Studios and talent negotiate compensation through their existing channels, agents, lawyers, business affairs. DAI App sits underneath that. It's the infrastructure that enforces whatever those parties agree to. Think of it like the banking system. Banks don't negotiate your salary, but they enforce the transaction when your employer pays you. DAI App enforces consent. The business deal happens above it, and DAI App is not a surveillance system. I want to be very clear about this. DAI App stores math, not faces. The embeddings in the vault are one-way mathematical representations. You cannot reverse engineer a face from them. You cannot reconstruct a voice. You cannot play back someone's motion data. The raw biometric data, the actual face scan, the actual voice recording, stays with the studio that captured it for the specific project it was captured for. DAI App never holds it. The protocol verifies identity through mathematical comparison, not through data storage. This is a fundamental architectural choice. If DAI App held raw biometric data, it would be the single largest target for identity theft in the world. By storing only irreversible math, the vault is valuable for verification but useless for impersonation. These distinctions matter because they define what DAI App can become. It's not competing with blockchain identity projects. It's not competing with DRM vendors. It's not competing with Adobe. It's building a layer that none of those things provide, a universal machine-enforceable consent protocol for AI identity. And it's building it in a way that's fast enough for real-time pipelines, simple enough for studios to integrate in weeks, and neutral enough that talent trusts it with their most personal data. That's episode 4. What it feels like to be talent on DAI App, how the protocol gets from zero to critical mass, and what it isn't, and why those distinctions matter.